We are taking a close look at retirement insecurity in our country as corporate pension funds dry up and wages stagnate. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly half of all private sector employees had no company-sponsored retirement plan last year. We're looking at the new realities of retirement, seniors going back to work, never quitting, the gold retirement watch, a relic of the past. Are you nearing retirement age or already a retiree? Have you had more financial insecurity than you anticipated? What was your experience like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Catherine Newman is a sociologist and author who's written about urban poverty and middle-class economic insecurity. And her latest book is called Downhill From Here, Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. She's interim chancellor of the University of Massachusetts Boston and senior vice president for academic affairs for the University of Massachusetts System. Catherine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Well, you start out with this staggering statistic that nearly half of employees in the private sector don't have a 401k. How did we get to this point?
Well, we've come a long, long road. I think it started really in the period after Ronald Reagan's election when the country fell in love with deregulation. And we began to see many companies falter as industries like telecommunications and trucking, airlines became much more competitive. And one of the consequences was they started underfunding their pension funds. And as they ran into bankruptcy, pensioners were the last in line to receive any benefits, way behind every other shareholder. So as those pension funds began to falter, we start to see employees from at the very beginning in trouble. Fast forward 30, 40 years later, and we're looking at a massive consequence for the whole country as people are confronting either pension funds that are dry, municipalities that are going bankrupt and leaving them high and dry, and a country that's just not really prepared for what this means for millions of people who are retiring, as well as the generations coming behind them, because this is not just a problem for today's retirees, it may be worse for the future ones.
How common is retirement insecurity today, and does it cut across generations?
It definitely cuts across generations in the sense that future generations may be in even worse trouble. You know, the generation retiring now was the last one to really have any hold on what we traditionally called a pension, which was a defined benefit pension, where you knew how much money you were going to get, and it was usually pegged to the highest earnings that you had over a period of usually 3 years. But that kind of pension, which accompanied high union density, has almost disappeared. You know, it eroded from about 35% of the American workforce down to about 7% today. And what was left, the 401k plan, which is a voluntary savings plan, it's never worked very well. It's all that's been available to younger generations. And there's very little money in the 401k system for all kinds of reasons. So I think this is a problem for everybody, not just a generation retiring now.
Catherine, you talked with hundreds of people about pensions and Social Security. You went to the most financially devastated parts of rural Louisiana. Can you tell us about someone who you met who really stuck with you for this book? What story stayed with you?
There's so many stories that stayed with me. I think the first one that really hit me was the story of Butch Lewis, whose real name we use in the book. And his name now adorns one of the most important congressional actions to hopefully remedy some of this. But Butch Lewis was a Teamster in Minneapolis, and he became the leader of his local. And he was a hardworking man, Vietnam veteran with a lot of injuries from the war. Worked for his entire life, more than 40 years, for trucking companies. And as they began to experience that deregulatory pressure, he responded to the company he worked for by giving back 15% of his wages to help them stay afloat. He kept going out on the road in the worst possible conditions. You know, we forget what it was like before there were cell phones and what it meant for people like Butch to be out on the road in a blizzard without being able to communicate with his family. By the time he was 60, he was in bad physical shape, time to retire. He took his retirement, and not long thereafter, he got a letter explaining that he was at risk of losing something like 75% of his pension because the Central States Pension Fund, where his pension came from, was going bankrupt. And Butch took to the hustings and went out to Congress and organized to try and beat this back. He died, sadly, of a massive stroke on New Year's Eve. He never got to see the benefits of those pensions.
We're talking about reaching golden years, struggles of retirement, how to afford it. Sociologist Catherine Newman, she's done lots of interviews with people about middle-class economic instability. Her new book is called Downhill From Here, Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a baby boomer with children who are millennials? What differences have you noticed in their financial means? We'll continue this conversation just ahead here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the retirement predicament as pensions evaporate. Millions in the middle class struggle to make ends meet. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, Lo, let's turn our attention to the spring membership drive. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's spring drive, and I'm here with Jean Purcell. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It really is important. We've got about 40 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for just 8 more people to join in and help us make this hourly goal. And by the way, thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
As a listener, you know that the Ideas Network connects you with experts from all over the world. And, you know, you may have asked yourself, how many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to the editor of the magazine or a politician or the author of a book like we're talking to this morning? It's the Ideas Network here at WPR who brings these experts right to you and allows you to join in the conversation. To help make it all possible, give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. And the answer is become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
And it's a terrific way to give because it's all automatic. A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs that you count on here at WPR. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift, and then those donations add up to have a big impact for WPR. So go ahead and choose an amount, $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The WPR t-shirt has become an annual tradition. Don't miss the 2019 t-shirt offered this drive. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
I love it. It's every part of Wisconsin. You've got your rural, you've got your city, you've got nature. It's perfect.
It looks like one of my favorite kinds of artwork, which is linoleum block cut.
I feel transported into a work of art.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. And it's your support during this spring, believe it or not, membership drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, I like the way you say spring there. You know, it was just a little bit below zero this morning, so I guess that's spring in Wisconsin. But what a great time to join in and join friends and neighbors from around the state who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it and believe that spring is going to show up at some time. It really does take the support of more than 50,000 members right now to make Wisconsin Public Radio just as good as it can be.
And when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every day.
Yeah, we're making progress in that goal. Just 7 more people is what we need right now to support WPR in about the next 35 minutes or so. And when we get those folks, we will meet our goal for this hour. WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
The fabulous 2019 WPR t-shirt is USA made. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your t-shirt.
And ask for your t-shirt because summer is coming. If you are a sustaining member, don't forget that you can make ongoing monthly gifts. And if you're already doing that, thank you for that. But then make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thanks for your support. We're looking at the crisis that is retirement insecurity and how Americans are getting by in their golden years. Retirement planners are saying that people need 70 to 80% of pre-retirement earnings when they stop working. Do you worry about if you'll be able to retire? Do you worry about a social safety net? Join in at 800-642-1234. Catherine Newman stays with us. She's a sociologist, author of the book Downhill from Here, Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. Catherine, pension plans used to be fairly common, but in recent decades, plans that require employees to manage their own retirement savings, like 401ks, have become a lot more popular. You say that they're broken in some way. Why is that? What is wrong with 401ks?
Well, first of all, Kate, they are voluntary. And unfortunately, Americans have never been good at voluntary savings. We tend to live to the edge of our incomes. And we use our housing equity as a major form of savings. But the Great Recession in 2008 took out a ton of that home equity and left many Americans really vulnerable because that was no longer going to be a substantial savings. The problem with 401ks, besides being voluntary, is they're ratable. And people do raid them when times get tough for them. As a result, there's not much money left in them. And so they're not sort of sacred and secure in the way that, say, Social Security is. They can be touched, and they are touched. So it is never designed to be a true retirement system. The 401k was always supposed to be a supplement to pensions, not a replacement for them. And they're not working very well as pensions. And even going forward in the future, they're going to be even less valuable because younger people are not saving nearly as much as older people did traditionally. So I don't think this is going to do the trick.
Where are we at with Social Security? How has that changed, and why isn't it adequate for people to live on?
Well, first of all, good news, we are living much longer than we used to. Social Security was born in a period when people typically lived into their early 60s, and it was designed.
Oh, and we're having
for that demographic. But we are now, if we're lucky, living into our,
Catherine,
our 80s, and it wasn't.
Yeah, we're having a lot of time. We're having some difficulty here with your line. Are you still with us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can
okay.
you hear me?
All right. Yeah, carry on. Yes. Yeah. So basically, we're living.
Okay, so,
yeah, we're living a lot longer.
That's right. We're living much longer than we used to. And so since Social Security was designed for a period when we typically died in our early 60s, living another 20 years puts a real strain on the system. So there's nothing wrong with Social Security except that it's not pulling enough money to support people for that length of time. There are, I think, relatively easy political remedies for this, but they're remedies we have to actually take before they'll work.
Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Port Wing with thoughts on this. Tom, hi. What's on your mind?
Well, my feeling is that retirement should be viewed less as a right and more as if you can't afford to retire, that's okay. But otherwise, we should anticipate working much longer rather than reaching a magical age and then assuming that we're going to have enough money through Social Security or whatever, rather than, leading people on to 65 and saying, this is your golden age.
Right. And Tom, we're short on time, but Catherine, you talk about the gray labor force.
Yes. The fact of the matter is, Tom, that most Americans have taken your advice. The fastest growing category of American workers are those full-time workers over the age of 65 and even faster over the age of 75, full-time workers. Now, I think a lot of Americans would debate your conclusion that we shouldn't expect to be able to retire. Most civilized countries around the world do provide for retirement at a fixed age, even if that age is growing older. But Americans have long since realized that they're not going to be able to do that, which is why they are headed back into the labor force or they never leave in the first place. Now, that's fine if you're a healthy person, but if you worked in a job like Butch Lewis did, by the time you're in your early 60s, you're finished.
We're talking with sociologist Catherine Newman. She's our guide, and her new book is Downhill from Here, Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up this conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. Many Americans need to work well past normal retirement age just to make ends meet. We're talking about it with a sociologist here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's check in on our spring membership drive at WPR. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Good morning.
And good morning. It's great to be here.
Your gift right now is so important. That's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for the WPR programs that you enjoy. Your gift keeps these programs and all the programs that you appreciate going strong. So invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got 25 minutes left in this hour. We're looking for about six more people to join in, help us make our goal this hour on our Spring Pledge Drive. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And by the by, thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we're talking with Catherine Newman. She's the author of the book Downhill From Here. It's a book about retirement insecurity. And when you think about the changing demographics, not just of Wisconsin, but of the country, and when you start thinking about that in terms of what that means for money, for finances, and for your life, it's pretty important. And that is the kind of thing we talk about here on the Ideas Network every single day. It's what your pledge dollars help support. And these are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Make your gift, and when you do, we've got an exciting drawing for you during this membership drive, too. A $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win throughout the drive. No contribution is necessary, and you can see all of the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, be automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable, but nothing in life that is of value is truly free. being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
That's right. Any amount is welcome, and everybody should make the gift that works for them, works for your budget, works for the value that you find in Wisconsin Public Radio. For some of you, that could be a gift of one or possibly $200 a month.
And that might be what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it like other things that are important to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, the hour is moving along. Just 22 minutes left before we reach the top of the hour right now, and looking for just five more people to join us. So we're doing pretty well, and we have
to keep this pacing.
We're spreading it out, but we have to keep it going. That's the trick. When you make your pledge at WPR, you make WPR possible. So make that pledge right now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have five chances to win. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, you're automatically entered.
And that's great news. If you're not a sustainer, though, become one right now. It's easy to do. You'll wind up making ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or from your credit card, wherever you choose. And you can do it by going online, WPR.org, or giving us a call at 888-202-2552. When you become a sustaining member of WPR, you'll be providing reliable support for the programs that you love.
We're talking about retirement on the morning show. Sociologist Catherine Nelson writes, as pension problems mount, the inadequacies of 401k plans begin to register, and Social Security becomes too meager to make up for what has been lost. Americans work. What has it been like for you? Is it helping you get by? What about an encore job? Call in at 800-642-1234. Catherine Newman's new book is Downhill From Here: Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. Catherine, what about the aging population and getting these encore jobs? What do they look like and who is filling them?
For most people, encore jobs pay a lot less than the jobs they had during their regular working lives. They're often a lot less prestigious, and they are basically in an economy, part of the economy that's just not very well paid to begin with. And unfortunately, those are the kinds of jobs that are typically available to elderly people who go back into the labor force unless they are highly, highly skilled and in areas of very high demand. And that happens from time to time. But most people find they're either in the informal gig economy or they're in jobs, for example, like one man I talk about who worked for a local bread shop. And he basically worked as a cashier. He was in his 70s. He took the job because it was the only one he could find after about 13 months of looking, and his family was going broke. His wife was working also in her later years in child care. And, you know, that was pretty tough on her, down on the floor with little toddlers at her age, physically very demanding. And for him, standing for hours and hours as a cashier, not easy either. But I think what bothered him the most was that he didn't feel he was very well respected. He felt he was taken advantage of because he was an older worker without too many other options. Now, probably most of the other people he worked with didn't feel so great about their jobs either. This is not the world's greatest job. But his interpretation was that people took him for granted or didn't respect him because he was an older worker. And that is not an unusual experience for people who go back into the labor force. They do it mostly because they have to, and they do it because they need it to survive, and this is not what they expected in their old age.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Scott joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I've been trying to read this book titled The People's Pension, The Struggle to Defend Social Security Since Reagan. In this book, the author says that Social Security was supposed to be originally something to live on, to be able to live on, not just a supplement, and that it's, in fact, an intergenerational agreement between those that are working today are paying for those that are retired today. You know, it's not like a savings thing. I think probably like the best way to like save or to help Social Security be better is to like lift the cap on taxes on it, because now there's like the first $120,000 somebody earns, they only get taxed on that, like only that much. So someone who makes $1 million a year pays the same amount into the common good as somebody makes $120,000. So I think we should lift that cap and provide more for people that are retired today. And
Scott, thank you for the call. And Catherine, what has become of the intergenerational agreement?
Well, it's certainly still there, but of course the nature of generations has changed. We have many fewer younger people supporting a much larger older generation, so that puts more stress on Social Security. But the caller's point is very well taken. That cap is actually about $132,000, and if we lifted it, Social Security would be secure indefinitely. And that is the bill before Congress that I think would make a big difference, and I think it is something all Americans should support. If people who were affluent earners paid the same amount proportionally as everyone else, we wouldn't have such a problem with Social Security. Now, that said, Social Security needs to be indexed to inflation so that those the payout amounts grow. But it is certainly the fairest, not only the fairest bargain between generations, but the most secure way to support people in retirement. If we couple it to affordable health care, that would make an enormous difference. Right now, Social Security is not keeping up with inflation, and even more to the point, it's not keeping up with the demographics, with how long we live. So we need to reorganize Social Security, but it's the sound concept and by far the most secure way to provide for people's retirement, at least as a foundation. But the American system has been always to couple Social Security with private pensions coming from employers, and it's that latter piece that's really wobbling most seriously, I think.
Catherine, you write about Ogden, Utah, having one of the narrowest wealth gaps in the country. What can Ogden teach us about retirement?
Ogden teaches us a great deal, and one of the surprising things about it is that the role of the federal government in securing Ogden's economic equality. So Ogden is the city in the U.S. with the least amount of inequality, as you mentioned. And one of the reasons is that it has many large federal installations there. It has a big Internal Revenue Service office. It has a large Air Force base. For a long time, it was the headquarters of the railroad. And those kinds of jobs sustained a kind of even economic trajectory for Ogden. It didn't have hugely wealthy people. It didn't have enormously poor people. It had tons and tons of highly employed middle-class people. When you add to that the strength of the Mormon Church, which encourages a kind of private safety net, you have a lot of lessons for the rest of us in what it takes to create a stable retirement. But I think the most important thing about Ogden is its steady and decent wage economy. Where you have that in place, you don't have these retirement problems because they were linked to solid retirement benefits through the federal government. When you look at its opposite, which you mentioned before, Opelousas, Louisiana, where there's never been any sign of that kind of federal investment in employment, you have exactly the opposite, a large, low-wage economy, very poor benefits, virtually nobody working for companies that provided health care or retirement pensions. And there you have just an epidemic of poverty among the elders. So where the national elderly poverty rate is about 9%, in Opelousas it's 24%. And that's what you get when you have an economy which all their lives has been one of poverty.
Let's go back to the phones now with Andrew in Heartland. Andrew, hi.
Hi. I was calling to see what the author thought about the Federal Reserve and inflation and the breakdown of the Bretton Woods Agreement in the early 1970s, where we saw runaway inflation. And since then, the American people haven't had a true raise in what they're actually earning. I wanted to find out if the author thought that that was perhaps the biggest problem facing seniors looking to retire now, because the buck isn't buying as much as it used to.
Catherine, what about stagnant wage growth and where it stems from?
Well, stagnant wage growth certainly plays an important role, both in the problems the elderly face and the problems everyone else faces. And it is an important part of the inequality equation, which we have to understand is at root for the retirement problem. As you know, the minimum wage is not kept at all with the cost of living. It's fallen well, well behind. That was not always the case. There was a long period of time when the minimum wage was increasing to keep pace, but that hasn't been true for quite a long time. So, yes, the wage problem, flattening of wages, has been a serious problem, and wage inequality is an enormous problem. Retirement insecurity isn't something that affects everyone. It doesn't affect people that are very top of the income spectrum, both because the kinds of benefits they have are obviously stronger, but because the wages they receive are stronger. They can save more, they have more property, and all of that means that they are much more secure in their retirement than almost everybody else. So the problems that we hear about and that are animating many elections these days of inequality more generally, which do attach these questions about wages and cost of living, are having a powerful effect on retirees and future retirees. It's all one story.
So, Catherine, in the minute or so we have left with you, what needs to be done to tackle the problem of retirement insecurity? I mean, what are some plausible solutions at this point?
Well, the first plausible solution we've already covered, and that's to lift the cap. That's critical for Social Security. After that, I really think we need to reconsider where pensioners sit with respect to companies that are wobbling or going into bankruptcy. They should be treated as creditors like every other creditor, and they're not. They are at the back of the line. So, for example, when we find airlines going bankrupt, they walk away from their retirees. Communications companies, they walk away from their retirees, and they will provide benefits back to shareholders of almost any other kind. I think that's ridiculous and should be remedied. We need to create a new retirement system in the U.S. that is sacred and secure. It can't be touched when times get rough because it needs to be conserved for retirement. So there are various programs in place and recommendations out there for forms of savings that are matched by the states. I think those are all good ideas. But most of all, we have to renew our sense that this intergenerational compact is a sacred one and that it is the right of every American to expect a dignified retirement. That was Franklin D. Roosevelt's promise to us. And that is a promise we ought to recapture from the New Deal.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Catherine Newman is a sociologist and author who's written about urban poverty and middle-class economic insecurity. Her latest book is called Downhill from Here, Retirement Insecurity in the Age of Inequality. She's interim chancellor of the University of Massachusetts Boston and senior vice president for academic affairs for the University of Massachusetts System. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We've been having a conversation about retirement insecurity here on The Morning Show. One of many authors you encounter on this program on a regular basis. Turning to now the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Jean, good morning.
And good morning to you, Kate.
You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this going strong.
Indeed we do. Listener support is the largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when more people join in during these drives, the better we are at achieving our goal. And we're looking really strong this break, Gene. We are just about at our pledge count, which is really nice, tracking very well, as I like to say.
Yep. It's always nice to track well, particularly when it's the first hour. Get the pledge drive off to a great start.
These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, in the last segment that we've just been listening to, we learned a lot about retirement insecurity. We'll be talking about state politics in the next hour, kind of what's ahead for the Evers administration. And these are the kinds of topics we cover every single day on the Ideas Network. Lots of serious stuff, state politics, retirement insecurity, lots of fun stuff. Where to go in Wisconsin, some great places to eat, things of that nature. And it's all about things that appeal to you as a listener and as a participant in the Ideas Network. And it's the kind of conversations that you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And when you make your gift, we've got a beautiful new t-shirt this spring. It's printed right here in Wisconsin, and I'm not going to give away the design too much, but let me just say this. It shows graphically how WPR is everywhere you are. It's at town, at home, at the great outdoors. You can show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR t-shirt when you make a pledge. So just give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs, because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one, one you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Gene Purcell, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this spring membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we know that Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for a whole variety of reasons. One of those reasons is because giving to WPR is one way to make a difference and to help your local community.
Your contribution today not only pays for the programs that you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover WPR. Make that difference with a gift of $100 or $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have to say that WPR has a crazy business model. We work on the honor system around here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And what that means is that you don't have to pay for WPR, but when you do choose to support it, you're the one who makes all of the WPR programs you enjoy possible. So we're asking, how about a gift right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount, then you give at WPR.org. I want to give a shout out to John from Verona, who says, I listen a lot and really appreciate your thoughtful discussions and news coverage. Thanks. No, thank you, John. Make your pledge now. Join John at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.